Welcome to Ventilly Speaking with Dr. Kvitko, the show that brings you man-on-the-street interviews, celebrity guests, and groundbreaking research. Our show is also known as everything you've always wanted to know about dentistry, but we're too numb to ask. I'm general dentist Dr. Brian Kvitko, and thank you for joining me today.
The following views and opinions do not necessarily reflect those of this station, its staff, management, or parent company. To hear a replay of this show or one of the other great shows that previously aired, log on to dentallyspeaking.com or iTunes, keywords Dr. Kvitko or Dentally Speaking. Listeners should not use Dr. Kvitko's comments and advice in place of an actual dental exam.
Brighten your life with a smile that shows the professional touch of Dr. Kvitko.
Time now for Dentally Speaking with Dr. Kvitko to discuss your dental issues. Now, here's your host, Dr. Kvitko.
Hello, and welcome to Dentally Speaking with Dr. Kvitko, also known as everything you've always wanted to know about dentistry, but were too numb to ask. Hello, I'm general dentist Dr. Kvitko, and thank you for joining me here today. I really appreciate it. Today, we're going to have an interesting show. I think it's going to be kind of fun, honestly. And what it is there are a couple news things in the, stories in the news. And one is the Dr. Oz show talked about silver amalgam. They had a bunch of experts and had a nice discussion about that, silver fillings. And the other is mid-level providers. There's a relatively recently, the ADA came out with a report where they did a study to study this whole notion of mid-level providers. And if you're not familiar with what that is, I will let you know. Actually, about 3 years ago, I had a Dr. George Gatsius on the show. He is from Colorado. And they were talking about this mid-level provider notion. And what it is whenever the legislature tries to figure out how to better serve people in rural areas, people that don't have as much access to care. And by access, what I mean is, and what they mean is, there aren't as many providers, aren't as many dentists in some of the rural areas. And so what they'll do is they try to come up with a way, kind of, I call it deputizing a dental assistant or something, to go out and provide care. When in fact, what they really need to do is just simply raise that reimbursement level for dentists so that they can afford to provide the care on their own. And I think what we're going to do is we're going to come back to that later, because I want to start with the Dr. Oz show and the episode about dental amalgam. Now, amalgam, by the way, an amalgamation means a mixture of several things. So an amalgam is a mixture of different types of metal, tin, copper, zinc, silver, and in the case of silver fillings, the agent that makes the filling into a clump that we can push into a tooth is mercury, and that is the element that has so many people nervous. Well, when I was practicing in dentistry back in the 80s, I graduated actually in 1980, and we had tooth-colored filling, but it just wasn't very good yet, and so almost all of the fillings that we did were silver amalgam. And about 1987, see, a lot of the current dentists, your dentist may not even have heard this story, a lot of the current dentists are too young to know what has caused the uproar or the concern over dental amalgam. In fact, so much so is that a lot of people in the public refer to them as mercury fillings, and it's like, they're not mercury fillings, they're silver amalgam, they're silver fillings. By the way, I still have silver fillings in my mouth. I place them in my kids. There is nothing wrong with silver filling. And what the ADA did was they set aside a group to study the issue. It was the Council on Scientific Affairs of the ADA. And they came out with a memo that said that after studying it for, I think it was at least a year, and they've basically given silver amalgam a clean bill of health. There is nothing wrong with a silver filling. Now, let's see here. I do know that the doctors, this was the doctors, I said Dr. Oz incorrectly earlier, sorry about that. But obviously it's good for shows like that to have controversial topics. There was a woman who claimed that her neurological problems dissipated after she had her amalgam fillings removed, as well as an osteopathic physician and a PhD who agreed with her. But they also, you know, luckily, had testimony or had as a visitor Dr. Edmund Hewlett, one of the ADA's consumer advisor spokespersons and who is also a UCLA professor. They did report that the Food and Drug Administration and the National Multiple Sclerosis Society do not believe there is a link between dental amalgam and multiple sclerosis based on available scientific evidence. Let me just say that amalgams have been used for generations to help save decayed teeth in more than 100 million Americans. Amalgam has been thoroughly studied, and there's no properly designed research study that have linked dental amalgam to serious health problems. And, you know, there are other options. There are tooth-colored fillings, but I'll tell you, even today, the choices we have when it comes to tooth-colored, if you're talking about composite, they just don't last as long. They wear away, they leak, they get new decay within about 5 years. And so you're actually doing your teeth, I believe, harm by having these tooth-colored fillings continually replaced. Because there was a study done years ago that said every time a filling is replaced, another 10 to 15% of the tooth structure is removed. And since teeth are only about, oh, we'll say something like 12 millimeters wide, that's not a lot. A molar is about 12 millimeters wide. Okay, so what I said is some of the current dentists don't know the story. Let me tell you the story. It was a story on 60 Minutes, and I've mentioned this on the show a time or two, but since this article and this episode of The Doctors just occurred, I thought we needed to revisit it. And so there was a Canadian researcher in about 1986 or so that took 7 sheep and anesthetized them, put them asleep, and drilled a filling, put a silver filling in every single tooth in their head. Let them wake up. And after a month, sacrificed the animals so that he could do toxicity studies of their liver and their kidneys. And what he found was traces of mercury. And so he said, oh my goodness, you know, we're poisoning everybody by putting silver fillings in people's teeth. And when it comes to scientific studies, this wasn't scientific. Let me explain. Sheep are different than us, than humans. Sheep don't just eat their food and they're finished. They regurgitate it and they chew it again and they regurgitate it and they chew it again. Also, if you've ever had more than one or two fillings placed, and even if you had just one, you probably noticed that when the numbness went off, your bite was off a little bit, hit a little hard over there to the point where it even made it hurt. It's very difficult to get the bite exactly correct when a person is still numb and can't really help us. So we try really hard, but oftentimes we have to ask a person to come back, let us adjust that. Okay, so let's go back to the sheep study. They anesthetize the sheep, put a filling in every single tooth, and there's no way that they could have possibly gotten the bite right. In fact, what was really happening is the sheep were eating their fillings, because when they would bring their teeth together, they were grinding away the brand new filling. Now, if you eat mercury, and we all know that in fish, if you actually eat it, it will wind up in your liver, and that's not good. In fact, you know, they talk about seafood shouldn't be consumed by really young children for that reason, because they're more susceptible. Okay, so the other thing that happens is besides, when I said regurgitate your food, think of all that acid. So the part that wasn't being freed up by chewing those little chunks that weren't being swallowed, the acid from the stomach, the sheep's stomach, was dissolving some of the rest. Now, silver fillings have an initial hardness in 1 hour, and then in 24 hours, from the time they were placed, they have their complete hardness. The mercury in a filling, the vapor, it is a vapor, it evaporates once you put it in that mix. It evaporates, it goes away, it's no longer mercury. It was just like something that helped you make this filling soft enough that you could push it in. So you have this model, this, and it's on 60 Minutes, by the way. It wasn't released in the Journal of the American Medical Association. It wasn't in the ADA journal. It was 60 Minutes. So 60 Minutes, they want to have stories that are very hard-hitting, that are that are controversial. And so it made people really nervous. And so much so that the medical community came together. And in fact, by the way, in the 60 Minutes show, a researcher said that something to the effect that the ADA knew of this issue and that they were purposely keeping it a secret. And that, so what happened was is this scientific panel that was convened with people from the National Institute of Health, the Center for Scientific Research, the Center for Disease Control, the American Medical Association. They made sure there were no ADA members, no American Dental Association members to counteract that claim. And they spent a year studying the issue, and they came up with their results, which basically said silver amalgam restorations are perfectly safe. And in fact, at one point, I had something like 21 different studies that have been done, and there's been more. And there's never been a study, except for the one with the seven sheep, that said that silver amalgams are a health hazard. Now, we have to keep in mind that you talk about demographics and the effect and how things affect society. As amalgams began to be used, if they were so dangerous, you would have expected either our lifespan to shorten, or more people getting MS, or more people getting these diseases that are being blamed on having silver fillings in your mouth. But the data doesn't show that; it shows the opposite. It's kind of like when the speed limit was the talks about raising the speed limit for trucks were going on a couple of years ago, and the concern was there'd be all kinds of accidents. Because if the trucks are traveling at 65 miles an hour instead of 55, they would be running everybody over, I guess, or crashing into each other. And when in fact, now that they've raised it to 65, and it's been like that for a couple of years or so, I read that the number of accidents is actually down. Especially, and as it turns out, what causes accidents is different speeds, not speed. So if everybody's going 65 miles an hour, nobody has to slam on their brakes when they come upon a truck going 55, for example. Okay. So sometimes what we think the data is going to say doesn't really stack up to what it is. And let me give another example. Have you ever, that new car smell? Or how about the smell when you get new carpet in your house? Well, carpeting is manufactured with a lot of synthetic material. Some chemicals that you wouldn't want to drink, certainly would be toxic if you did. And like toluene and some other, organic compounds. It really stinks, doesn't it? Okay, but what happens in about, I don't know, a couple weeks, maybe a month at the most? You don't smell it anymore. The remnants of those chemicals evaporated into the air, went out into the atmosphere. They don't stay in your house, by the way, because your house is not airtight. And they are gone. So the mercury and silver fillings, the vapor does the same thing. It just goes away. It's gone. Kind of like a light. When you turn on a light, when you turn off the light, it's black, it's dark. The light is still continuing off into space, by the way. It travels at 186,000 miles per second. So we don't see it, but it keeps going. And it's kind of interesting because I know that, as we broadcast radio shows like this one and we broadcast TV shows, that signal goes off on into space, and there's talk that, somewhere, a million years from now, there's another planet that's going to start getting our signals, and they're going to be getting I Love Lucy or Johnny Carson or something. But there are so many million light years away that it won't matter. And that's kind of the problem. Is even if we find another planet out there that maybe could support life, just like Earth, if there's another Earth out there, if it's a million light years away and it takes light a million years to travel there, 186,000 miles per second, we won't live long enough to, our lifespan just is too short. Kind of like an ant trying to walk from New York City to L.A. It would take several generations of ants to make it. And for them, that's like light years. Okay, so getting back to let's go back. We'll continue this discussion when we come back. You're listening to Dentally Speaking with Dr. Kavicka, and we'll be right back.
This is Clark Kellogg. Stay tuned for more of Dentally Speaking with Dr. Kvitko.
Vous écoutez à la radio du dentiste avec Dr. Kvitko, ici sur votre radio préférée.
Hi, this is Richard Simmons. Do you listen to Dentally Speaking? Well, you should. Dr. Kvitko's here, and he's going to help you with all of your problems. Are your teeth yellow? He can fix that. Are you missing a tooth? He can put a new one in. How is that?
That's very good. Thank you, Richard.
Mom. Has your son or daughter been begging you to learn to play guitar, but you don't know where to go or who to talk to? Well, fret no more. Call Guitar Lessons Columbus today at 427-3187. We'll teach your child how to actually apply and use the fundamentals, learn to play an entire song, make new friends with guitar, and even play with a drummer, all in the first month of playing. The earlier they start, the better. So don't wait. Call Guitar Lessons Columbus today at 614-427-3187 or check us out online at guitarlessonscolumbus.com.
Brighten your life with a smile that shows the professional touch of Dr. Kvitko.
Hi, I'm General Dentist Dr. Brian Kvitko. Are your teeth worn down or have crack lines in them? Have years of drinking coffee and tea or smoking darkened your teeth? Do you feel that you look older than your age? Do you remember when your teeth were an asset? When your smile would light up the room? With porcelain veneers, we can make your teeth sparkle again. Stop in and see our vast library of actual before and after photos, or see a small sampling of them at drkvitko.com. Plus, our available low monthly payments make them affordable. So what are you waiting for? You know you're worth it. Pick up the phone and call us at 614-262-9588. That's 614-262-9588. It's a call that is guaranteed to put a smile on your face.
Dr. Kvitko and Associates.
All right, we're back, and today what we are doing is we're talking about silver amalgam fillings, and it's in response to an episode of The Doctors where they talked about, they had a woman on that said that she, her symptoms of multiple sclerosis went away after she had her silver fillings removed, and so let me just tell you that, you know, the FDI, World Dental Federation, and the World Health Organization concluded way back in 1997 in a consensus statement that, quote, no controlled studies have been published demonstrating systemic adverse effects from amalgam restorations. Another conclusion of the report stated that, aside from rare instances of local side effects of allergic reactions, here's the quote, the small amount of mercury released from amalgam restorations, especially during placement and removal, has not been shown to cause any adverse health effects. Okay? In 1998, the ADA's Council on Scientific Affairs published its first major review of the scientific literature on dental amalgam, which concluded that, quote, based on available scientific information, amalgam continues to be a safe and effective restorative material. The Council's report also stated there currently appears to be no justification for discontinuing the use of dental amalgam. In an article published in February of 99, keep in mind this was now 12 years after the original claim by the Canadian researcher in 60 Minutes, the show. So in February of 99, issue of the Journal of the American Dental Association researchers report finding no significant association of Alzheimer's disease with the number, surface area, or history of having dental amalgam restorations and no statistically significant differences in brain mercury levels between subjects with Alzheimer's disease and control subjects. Also, a 2003 paper published by the New England Journal of Medicine states patients who have questions about potential relation between mercury and degenerative diseases can be assured that the available evidence shows no connection. In 2004, an expert panel reviewed the peer-reviewed scientific literature published from 1996 to December of 2003 on potential adverse human health effects caused by dental amalgam and published a report. The review was conducted by the Life Sciences Research Office and funded by the National Institutes of Dental and Craniofacial Research, National Institutes of Health, and the Center for Devices and Radiological Health, U.S. Food and Drug Administration. So there was all of these different groups that came together. The resulting report states that the current data are insufficient to support an association between mercury release from dental amalgam and the various complaints that have been attributed to this restorative material. These complaints are broad and nonspecific compared with to the well-defined set of effects that have been documented for occupational and accidental elemental mercury exposure. Individuals with dental amalgam attributed complaints can neither had neither elevated urinary mercury nor increased prevalence of hypersensitivity to dental amalgam or mercury when compared with controls. And then in 2006, the Journal of the American Medical Association and Environmental Health Perspectives published the results of two independent clinical trials designed to examine the effects of mercury release from amalgam on the central and peripheral nervous systems and kidney function. The authors concluded that there were no statistically significant differences in adverse neurophysiological or renal effects observed over the five-year period in children whose cavities are restored using dental amalgam or composite materials, and children who received dental restorative treatment with amalgam did not, on average, have statistically significant differences in neurobehavioral assessments or in nerve conduction. It sounds like we're getting too scientific. Okay. And then there was another one in 2008 and in 2009, and it just keeps going as far as reports and studies that show silver fillings are perfectly fine. They really are. Now, it's been a long time, and people hear that and people get nervous, and there was a time, maybe back in the 90s, when I would spend a lot of time talking to my patients who said they wanted their silver fillings removed and put tooth colored in there. I would make sure they knew this information before doing it and almost try to talk them out of it. I don't do that anymore. I understand that people have a concern and that everybody has control over their own body. So if people want tooth colored fillings, that's what we do. We do a ton of them. It's just kind of sad because silver is so good. It's cheaper. It lasts longer. I've seen photographs of silver fillings still in the mouth that were 63 years old. I've seen pictures of silver fillings still in the mouth 45 years old, 38 years old. And you'll never see, never, unless it's a tiny, tiny little thing on the side of the tooth, you'll never see a tooth-colored filling that's lasted that long unless it happens to be a ceramic restoration. And so these days we can do the milled restorations. They're called onlays. The name of the machine is a Cerec machine, C-E-R-E-C. And we do have that, although that costs about the same as a cap, a crown. And so it would be cost prohibitive to have all of your silver fillings removed and have ceramic onlays placed in their place. We'll do it, and we've done it for a few. But there was, and back when this all started, there was a dentist in Colorado who actually lost his license for claiming that he could cure people of multiple sclerosis and Alzheimer's and all of that by simply removing their silver fillings. So anyway, just keep in mind, and again, if you are nervous about them, don't have them. But if you didn't really have a strong feeling either way, and it's like, you know, just tell me, doc, what's going to work the longest, what's going to cost the less amount of money, and have a nice restoration. I mean, we wouldn't do it in front teeth. We never do that. We always do it in the back teeth. But again, I have silver filling, and I'm not that crazy, am I? Well, I guess I'm asking. I guess that's a dumb. I should have asked that question because lots of people are going, "Yeah, he's crazy." Anyway, no, yeah, we don't make people feel bad who say, "You know what? I understand what you're saying, but I still would rather have tooth color." That's fine. And like I said, I just let people know silver costs less, lasts longer. But if you want tooth colored, we'll do that. I see a lot of one of the big problems with the tooth colored fillings is how they. It's very hard to create the side of the filling, the part where you floss. And I bet you a bunch of you listening right now have a tooth-colored filling that you got not that long ago, and now you're just getting food stuck down in there, in between the two teeth, and you're always having to floss it out or push it out with a toothpick. And the reason is despite how hard a dentist tries, sometimes those fillings, the edge of those fillings, they wind up too straight, or they don't contact the other tooth as tightly as they should. So food gets in there. And guess what happens when food gets in there, especially if you don't clean it out? You get decay. Now, they make all kinds of devices for us to help us do a better job. They have these little bands that have like a little bubble, like they're convex, so that you can create that convex shape. But tooth-colored filling is like pushing. When you push on it, it's like pushing pudding. Okay, you push down, or like a waterbed. You push on this side, and the other side goes up. And you push over here, and the other side goes up. You can't really mush it over and have it stay where you put it. It has to, You just have to hope that that band is doing the job for you. So there are lots of tricks that we'll do. If we know your tooth is going to need a crown, say, next to it, while I'm working on the crown, I might fill the side of the other tooth with tooth-colored filling. Then I make your crown fit it, rather than making the filling fit your crown. Lots of neat little tricks that we can do, but it's really, really tricky. And the material, honestly, it hasn't gotten any better than it was. Probably the biggest improvements we saw would have been back in the late 90s. Better fillers, better polishability. They don't wear away quite as fast, but they still do wear away. And but you know, what can you do? Okay, now we do Dr. Kovitko's question of the day, and we're going to be doing that soon. So let me just remind you that according to the American Dental Association and several other groups, which I've mentioned, won't bother listing them all again, one of them is the ADA Council on Scientific Affairs, silver amalgam restorations are perfectly safe. Okay, so keep that in mind. So I think what we'll do is we'll go ahead and go to a break. And let's go ahead and do the, that's right, we're going to, before, I'm going to do the question, but I always forget the attorneys. You know, these attorneys, they rule all parts of our lives. So before I do the question, I need you to listen to this.
This station will not be held liable for any contesting during Dentally Speaking with Dr. Kovitko. Participation in the contest allows Dr. Kovitko to record and broadcast your name and call. One winner per household, prizes are non-transferable, cannot be substituted, and are subject to taxes and fees. This station cannot be responsible for the inability to enter the contest, whether due to equipment malfunction or telephone difficulties. All decisions of Dr. Kovitko concerning this contest or eligibility are final.
And now it's time for Dr. Kovitko's question of the day.
And the question of the day is, true or false, according to the ADA Council on Scientific Affairs, silver amalgam restorations are perfectly safe. Is that true? Or is it false? The winner will receive free flowers from Vice Number Florist delivered to your place of business this Tuesday afternoon. And so go ahead and call 459-9769. Call now.
Hey, this is Olympic snowboarder Louis Vito. Make sure you stay tuned to Dentally Speaking with Dr. Kovitko.
Dentally Speaking is his talk show. Dr. Kovitko.
Experience, artistry, creativity. There are still professions where these words mean something. Studio B Hair Design still believe that practice does make perfect. Whether it's a precision cut, custom color, or something uniquely your own, Studio B can help you find just the right look, all in a comfortable, relaxing atmosphere right in the heart of Clintonville. Let Studio B Hair Design give you the best professional hair care at the best price. And should you need a quick gift idea, why not give a Studio B gift certificate for a birthday, anniversary, or subtle way of telling that special someone your hair needs help? So when looking for a fresh approach to your hair, do what lots of people do in Central Ohio. Trust experience. Trust the professionals at Studio B Hair Design. Studio B Hair Design, 21 Brighton Road, just off High Street in Clintonville. Call for your appointment now, 614-263-8661. 263-8661.
Brighten your life with a smile that shows the professional touch of Dr. Kovitko.
Hi, I'm General Dentist Dr. Brian Kovitko. Have you always wanted a smile makeover but didn't know where to go or if you could afford it? Well, take heart. Here at Dr. Kovitko Mentness & Associates, we've been doing successful smile makeovers for decades. Stop in and see our vast library of actual before and after photos, or see a small sampling of them at drkovitko.com. Plus, we've made them affordable. Whether you choose the low monthly payments or having your makeover done in phases to spread your cost over time, I know you'll be happy with your new smile. So what are you waiting for? You know you're worth it. Pick up the phone and call us at 614-262-9588. That's 614-262-9588. It's a call that's guaranteed to put a smile on your face.
Dr. Kovitko and Associates.
Sie hören zu einer Rede über zahnärztliche Sachen mit Dr. Kovitko hier an Ihrer beliebtesten Station.
Hi, I'm Dominique Reigert. Like what you hear? Why not use the Dentally Speaking Show to promote your product or service by becoming a sponsor? Call 614-262-9588 to learn how. That's 614-262-9588. Call now or send an email to drkavitko at aol.com.
You know I can't smile without you. I can't smile without you.
Okay, welcome back to Dentally Speaking with Dr. Kavitko. We have four callers on the line. We have Sherry, Sarah, Linda, and Mike. We're going to go in order, so let's go to line one. Sherry, what do you... hey, first of all, thanks for listening. Hello, Sherry? Let's see here. We'll push a button or two. Wait a minute. Can you hear me, Sherry?
Yes, I can hear you.
Oh, good, good. I hear you now. Okay. I saw my producer frantically pushing buttons. So, all right. So the question was, according to the American Dental Association Council on Scientific Affairs, silver amalgam restorations are perfectly safe. Is that true or false?
That is true.
Okay. Thank you very much. That's good. That's the correct answer. So, Sherry, what do you do for a living? I'm curious.
Well, I'm a hairdresser. This is about the third time I've called in.
Oh, is it? Okay. Okay.
Because I listen to you every week.
Well, that's good. That's nice to know. I appreciate that. Good. Okay. And you haven't won in the last 30 days, right?
Pardon me?
You haven't won in the last 30 days, right?
I don't think so.
Okay. Okay. Well, what we'll do is we're going to gather information, and maybe I'll have my producer gather one of the other winners, callers' information just in case. But
okay.
Hey, thanks for listening, and tune in next week too, okay?
I will do that.
Okay.
Have a good day.
All right, you too. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, so very good. So yeah, if my producer will maybe get the information for one of the other winners, we'll take a look. All right, so now, you kind of have to think about... take a lot of these things, and it'll tell you what, it's opened my eyes to when I see a story on 60 Minutes or 2020 or one of those, investigative journalism type shows, I always start to think to myself, wonder if this is like that dental silver filling story. You know, I wonder if there's something I don't know here. And I start asking questions. I mean, don't get me wrong. A lot of times they uncover some stuff that we needed to know. A good example would be the lead that was discovered in porcelain crowns. And that was discovered, it was funny because it was actually a woman here in Ohio. I believe she might have been, it was either Columbus or Cleveland. And Lindsay Sievert, a Channel 10 reporter, kind of broke that story. And it caught everybody off guard. The dental labs, the dentists, the dental society, the American Dental Association, nobody really knew this. And it turns out that there were some labs, a dentist might send a case to a lab to have a crown made, for example, and that lab was sending it to a Chinese laboratory, getting it done for, you know, pennies on the dollar, and then sending it to the dentist kind of as though they had done it. And so sometimes these stories do bear out to be true, and it's hard to really know, but just kind of, I guess I would say just, you know, ask questions and give it some thought as far as, think about it. If it was that bad, would our lifespan be expanding? I mean, our lifespan has expanded to the point where now they're going to not even start paying people their retirement, their Social Security until, what, 67? And there's word that it could go up to 70 because people are living longer. So if silver fillings were that bad, it'd be going down, not up. Okay, now the other thing that we wanted to talk about today, and this too is a recent news story, is this mid-level provider thing. And this has been talked about for several years, and the ADA came out with a scientific study that finds that surgical mid-level providers do not reduce the overall rates of dental decay. And again, every time we talk about access to care issues, rather than solving the actual problem... the problem is, and I think I talked about it last week too, and I apologize, but this story just came out. It was it was from January 2nd of this year. Every time people talk about access to care, and by the way, what they really mean is access to money. Well, what money? They mean money for Medicaid, Medicare, welfare, whatever it's being called that year. And so... Our government, we all know we're running out of money. We have to control spending. We don't collect enough tax to cover what we're spending. So we either have to collect more tax, nobody wants that, or we have to spend less. And when you spend less, then things get left out. Well, the mid-level provider model then was an idea put forth, and it's still being talked about and probably will continue to be talked about, because the idea is if you take somebody out of high school and put them in a training class for 18 months, so potentially somebody that's 19 years old would be allowed to drill teeth and would be allowed to extract teeth unassisted by a dentist in some rural area, and yet the dentist would somehow be responsible for everything that person did. That part really kind of irks me. I can't believe they would expect a dentist to be responsible for somebody, and they're not even there. They're not even there to see what's being done. But anyway, okay, so we have, let's say, for example, welfare pays 60 cents on the dollar. You do a $100 procedure, you get 60. But to keep your office open, it costs you 70. So for everything you do, every time you do a procedure on a government-funded patient, you're losing $10 for every 100. That doesn't work. So what happens is people don't want to open up in areas where almost everybody is on government assistance because, first of all, they can't afford it. And so then our legislators say, well, we've got to solve this access to care issue, so how are we going to do it? Well, somebody said, I know, let's train somebody right out of high school, and they'll go into these little areas, and they'll do it. And the ADA just discovered that that doesn't work. Now, the report did talk about how when you, the decay rate, it's called decayed, missed, and filling, or filled teeth. Decayed, missing, or filled teeth. And that number goes down when you have more providers in the area, but it's not related to whether it's a dentist or what they call a dental therapist. It's just the fact that there's somebody there that can do the work. And so the point is it could, those numbers would go down too if you just made it so that a dentist could afford to have an office there. Now, I've been a dentist since 1980, and that's 32 years, almost 33. And I can tell you that a lot of my expertise has been obtained, learned, developed over time, and that I'm a better dentist today than I was when I graduated. Now, people think that the dentists that are graduating today are up on all the latest techniques, and that they're the ones with all the latest knowledge, and I can tell you it's kind of almost the opposite. I'm not going to name names, but I know for a fact of dental schools that when the students graduate, they have not had any exposure. Well, let me put it this way. Sometimes there are some elective courses that they can take, but let me just name a few things. For example, laser dentistry, the same-day crown dentistry, the digital x-rays, the implants. See, when I graduated from dental school, implants were still being investigated, they hadn't figured them out yet. They were doing studies on baboons at Battelle Memorial Institute in conjunction with Dr. Bobby Joe Downs at the Ohio State University College of Dentistry, and they weren't working yet. They hadn't figured out the shape, size, the thread design, the material that would work best. And so the point is, it's just about everything that I do today, I didn't learn in dental school. But I was I was a lot surprised to find that new graduates from many, many, many dental schools don't really have great access to this new technology. Now, I've had digital x-rays in my office for 13 years. I've had the CEREC same-day crown system for about 7. I've had laser dentistry for about 6. And yet, people graduating from dental school in June may not have had any exposure to those things. Okay? So, anyway, I got off on a tangent, but what I'm getting at is it takes a long time, even after you've gone through 4 years of college and 4 years of dental school, it takes a long time to really develop your skills, to really hone in on your diagnostic abilities and, you know, how do you drill on somebody who has some kind of a Parkinsonian tremor where they shake? How do you work with mentally and developmentally disabled folks? How do you work on children that are terrified? How do you work on adults that are terrified? Not something that you can do 18 months out of high school. But that's this model, this mid-level provider model, is somebody with a high school degree could sign up to take this class, and 18 months later, they would be allowed to go and extract teeth and drill teeth. Oh, I know what else the dental students aren't exposed to. very, very, very few, maybe none now that I think about it, graduate certified in IV sedation. They don't get training in removal of impacted wisdom teeth, almost none of the tough ones. So, but keep in mind, if you're going to send people into rural areas where there isn't an oral surgeon anywhere around, this person 18 months out of high school is going to have to be extracting some pretty tricky teeth, and what's going to happen when they get in the middle of it and they can't finish it. Let's talk more on this when we come back from the break. You're listening to Dentally Speaking with Dr. Kvitko, and we'll be right back.
Stay tuned for more of Dentally Speaking with Dr. Kvitko after these messages.
Estás escuchando Dentally Speaking con Dr. Kvitko aquí en su estación favorita.
Mom, has your son or daughter been begging you to learn to play guitar, but you don't know where to go or who to talk to? Well, fret no more. Call Guitar Lessons Columbus today at 427-3187. We'll teach your child how to actually apply and use the fundamentals, learn to play an entire song, make new friends with guitar, and even play with a drummer, all in the first month of playing. The earlier they start, the better. So don't wait. Call Guitar Lessons Columbus today at 614-427-3187 or check us out online at guitarlessonscolumbus.com.
Brighten your life with a smile that shows the professional touch of Dr. Kvitko.
Hi, I'm general dentist Dr. Brian Kvitko. Are you an adult with teeth that are crooked? Maybe you had braces as a kid, but you didn't wear your retainer as often as you should have? Or maybe your parents weren't able to offer you braces as a child. Well, take heart. Now you can have straight teeth in 6 months. That's right. Using clear brackets and tooth-colored wires, we can straighten your teeth before it's even time for your next cleaning. So, if you have a high school reunion, a graduation party, or even a wedding in your future, why not let us straighten, then whiten your teeth? Interested? Call us to schedule a no-charge 6-month smiles consultation at 614-262-9588. That's 614-262-9588.
Dr. Kvitko and Associates.
All right, and we're back to Dentally Speaking with Dr. Kvitko. Thank you for joining me here today. Really appreciate it. And we're talking now about mid-level providers, also known as a dental therapist. It's a model that's being talked about by our legislators, both nationally and in the state and the state level, where somebody who, after high school, would go to an 18-month program and be allowed to drill on teeth, you know, drill and fill and extract teeth in an area completely separated from a dentist, like maybe 100 miles away or something, with the idea being is that that would provide better access to care. And what we were talking about before the break is how technical dentistry is, how hard it is to really get to where, you know, everything just kind of flows and you understand what to do in this case and that case. And for example, when you're extracting a tooth, sometimes the roots of teeth are very close to or into the maxillary sinus, and you can have a communication between the sinus and the mouth. Well, that could cause infection, that could cause all kinds of issues. And again, do you want somebody that's only had 18 months of training after high school to be doing that? I don't. Now, I thought of something else during the break, that most new dentists graduate not knowing how to do root canals on molars. They're allowed to do root canals sometimes on like a little real easy, like lower front teeth or an upper front tooth where there's just one canal and they're always easy to find, but they don't let them even learn how to do root canals on molars. So you might say, well, why do they need to? Because there are endodontists. Endodontists are the specialists that do root canals. Well, the reason they need to know is because there aren't enough endodontists to do all the root canals that are done in this country. In fact, it's something like, I want to say, this was a stat I gave out on the show years ago, and I can't remember exactly, but it's something like 80% of all root canals are done by general dentists nationally. If you'd have to have a ton more endodontists to actually fill that need. Okay, so what I'm not bashing new dentists. Don't get me wrong, because we've got some really talented, some really bright young people that are graduating from dental school, and with a little more training, they'll learn all of that. But keep in mind, they've gone 4 years of college after high school, then they went to 4 years of dental school, and they still graduate relatively green, not knowing how to do a lot of things. So how in the world could you take somebody from high school, skip college, skip dental school, go 18 months to a program that teaches them how to do these things, and then let them loose. It just doesn't make any sense at all to me, unless you're a legislator and you're just looking at dollars. And they think, okay, well, they'll probably, maybe they'll work for $15 an hour or something. I don't know what the plan is, what they would earn. But once they get out there, what happens is, and they did this with dental hygienists. Dental hygienists for years wanted to be able to practice alone, open up a dental hygiene office, you know what I mean, instead of a dental office. Just We Clean Teeth, kind of a, like, you know, Toys R Us, Teeth R Us, We Clean Teeth. Well, there are a couple of states, I think California might be one of them, in Colorado, where hygienists are allowed to have their own offices. And what we find is they wind up opening up in the metropolitan areas, the same areas that there's already a concentration of dentists, so it's not really serving the rural need, which was the plan. And the also the hope when it was first devised was that the price would be less. They'd be able to charge less for a cleaning because you've cut out the middleman, the dentist. But what happens is they find that by studying the way things went, is the dental hygienists wound up having to charge the same or more for cleaning than dentists do, as dentists do. And the reason is because they house, then they incur the debt for the setting up their office, for putting the dental chairs in. They have to pay their electric bill, their gas bill, their, you know, telephone, all that stuff, their malpractice insurance, everything that dentists have to do. And the difference is, if they own their own office and a patient doesn't show up, they don't earn anything for that hour. If they work for a dentist and the patient doesn't show up, they get to go relax a little bit or maybe make some phone calls to kind of fill next week's schedule. But the point is kind of like deputizing hygienists to go fill this need in rural areas, that didn't work. And deputizing somebody to go out and drill teeth and fill teeth and extract teeth into a rural area, that's not going to work either. On the way in this morning, I heard a commercial for McDonald's. And I thought, you know what? There are McDonald's in these rural areas, and McDonald's in the rural areas charge the same amount as the McDonald's in metropolitan areas. And the same with gasoline. You can find gas stations almost anywhere, no matter how little the town is. And gasoline isn't any cheaper just because it's in a rural area. In fact, in some cases, it costs more because they have to ship it in. And so dentistry, dental care, ought to be able to function in a small town, in a rural area, and function at the same level, the same cost, or the same price structure, I guess, if you will, as in a metropolitan area. And I just think that our national and state legislators need to figure out a formula, whatever that is, to pay the dentists enough money that they can pay their staff. And I think if you do that, the public is going to be in a lot better shape, certainly in better hands than they would be by having somebody that has 18 months of training period. Okay. Well, that's just my opinion. If you have an opinion, if you want to call in and talk, tell me what you think about both of these topics, whether it's the mid-level provider or the mercury in dental fillings, whether silver fillings are safe or not, you can call. You can always call 459-9769. Be happy to talk to you. And if you want to try to change my mind, you can do that. But anyway, okay, so I think what we're going to do is we're going to go to a break now. And when we come back, we have some dental news bites or maybe a discussion with a listener. You're listening to Dentally Speaking with Dr. Kavitko, and we'll be right back.
Stay tuned to Dentally Speaking with Dr. Kavitko.
Brighten your life with a smile that shows the professional touch.
Hi, I'm General Dentist Dr. Brian Kavitko. Do you wear complete or partial dentures? Are you tired of having to take your teeth out at night? Or how about having to take them out at the doctor's office or in the hospital? Pretty embarrassing, isn't it? Heck, they've already taken away your clothes and then they take away your teeth too. Wouldn't it be nice to go back to having teeth that don't come out of your mouth? Well, you can. Here at Dr. Kavitko Metnis & Associates, we can place implants and cement fixed bridges on top to give you a smile that never comes out. You'll never look or feel toothless again. Think what that can do for your self-esteem. And you'll never have to worry about a metal clasp showing or your dentures falling out with a big sneeze. Interested? Give us a call at 614-262-9588. That's 614-262-9588.
Dr. Kavitko & Associates.
State ascoltando Dentally Speaking con il dottor Kvitko, qui sulla vostra radio preferita.
All right, we're back to Dentally Speaking with Dr. Kvitko. Thank you for joining me today. Really appreciate it. And a couple stories in the news. This one was from December 10th of last year, and I didn't get around to mentioning it. And it was a story about the VA dental clinic having to bring in water, talking about chronic bacteria problems spur bottled water use. Now, there's this system that I have at my office. It's this whole manifold of filters, and also once a month, every 28 days, I guess it is, we inject a bactericidal agent into these little ports. And what we do is we clean out all of the water lines that go to the treatment rooms. Anything that goes in the patient's mouth, those water lines are cleaned, okay, to keep the number of bacteria down. It's kind of gross. If you've ever cut open an old pipe or seen pictures of it, I bet you could probably do that by Googling it or something. There's this biofilm, this really slimy stuff that looks really gross that builds up inside water lines. And if you saw it, you wouldn't drink water from that pipe. And that's what kind of spurred on the bottled water movement. Of course, we don't know what the pipes look like that water came from. We just assume that that's clean and fresh. And it's only our pipes that are gunked up. But anyway, so you have to really peel back the layers on everything. And also, while I'm at it, keep in mind that bottled water doesn't have fluoride in it. So bottled water actually has been one of the reasons that the incidence of decay has gone up of late. The other thing about bottled water, while I'm on the topic, and I know it's come down a little bit, but when bottled water first came out, it cost about $7.50 a gallon if you did the math, and most people didn't. And we complain a lot about the price of gasoline, where we have to go into foreign countries and oftentimes places that aren't very friendly to us with lots of big expensive machines to extract oil from the ground, and then we have to process it, and then we have to ship it, and all of that stuff. And it's $3 and about 33, 34 cents a gallon right now, about half the cost of the designer water. But we don't seem to complain about things that we want, the price of things we want. We just complain about the price of things we need. So people, you know, if I say you need a root canal, that's like, oh my goodness, I need a root canal. I don't want to spend $800 on a root canal. But that same person might want to go to Disney World, and they'll find $3,000 to take their family to Disney World because they want to. It's just human nature. We do it. That's the way we are. So anyway, we have this system at my office where it keeps the water lines clean, but it turns out that elevated bacteria levels at the Columbus VA caused them to stop using their plumbing system in the dental clinic. The bottled water, they've been using bottled water exclusively at this point for about 5 months. And what their goal is, which is really neat, is to be better than the community standard, which is what I think I do. And they had found spikes in bacteria levels in their water lines, and so they decided to be proactive, and they brought in bottled water. Now, a lot of operatories every day use the bottled water. A lot of these dental chairs, they're not so much now, but there was a period where every dental chair came with like this little port that you would screw on a bottle. Keep in mind, bottled water is just pure water. It's not sterile water. It's just pure, meaning there are no minerals or anything in it. And that's a misconception. So unless it's sterilized, distilled water has fewer bacteria in it than regular, but bottled water is not distilled. It's just water that's supposedly coming from some spring or something that I guess will make you grow tall and strong. I don't know. But anyway, I want to commend the VA for doing that. And the CDC, the Center for Disease Control and Prevention, they came out with a position paper probably 13 to 15 years ago saying that they felt there should be a standard that no water that is used in patient care can have more than a certain number of bacteria per small amount or CFM. And it was the thought then was that it would eventually become a law. Well, it hasn't. It hasn't become a law. And maybe they're just using data data that indicates that it's, you know, again, the people don't seem to be getting sick. In fact, my oldest son is a PhD in microbiology, so you would think he would be like a germaphobe. And my daughter-in-law, Mary, she says, you know what? We're going to eat a pound of dirt in our lifetime. May as well get started now. So like when my grandson, you know, drops his pacifier, I don't know if he's using that anymore, they just pick it up and, you know, kind of rub it off and give it back to him. Wouldn't go sterilize it to get a new one. And there's something to be said for that. We need a certain amount of exposure to bacteria to keep us from getting sick. We get little inoculations, you know. In fact, the medical community is making it very clear to folks it's not healthy to continually wash everything in that antibacterial soap. You need exposure to some bacteria. Otherwise, you wind up allergic to lots of things and you have skin conditions, and you're healthier if you, I hate to say it, but if you eat a little bit of dirt in your lifetime, okay? It's true. I think people, you know what I'm talking about. Okay. So, anyway, I want to commend the VA. I had, I think it was Dr. Cho, who was like a four-star colonel or some full-bird colonel on my show about a year and a half ago. And they really do try to take great care of our military personnel. And, you know, they get a lot of negative press, it seems, but they really try. Now, also, oh, you know what? This one really got me. There's this story that just came out, and let me just find it. This woman, and this seems to happen over and over again, where this woman, I'm going to give you her name as soon as I find it. Okay, here it is. This was from January 4th. It was written it was a story by Rosemary Parker, and it says rparker3@mlive.com. Trying to make sure I give credit where credit is due. It's Dowagiac, Michigan, a 45-year-old Dowagiac woman accused of stealing money and the authority to order Vicodin from the dentist office she managed for 15 years. She turned herself into authorities on January 2nd and now faces felony drug and embezzling charges. Vicky Zachary of 304 Gray Street is being charged with embezzlement of between $50,000 and $100,000 from Burling and Gillespie DDS, a felony punishable by up to 15 years in prison, according to a news release from the Cass County Prosecutor Victor Fitz and the Dowagiac Director of Public Safety. In addition, Zachary is accused of 10 times using false authorization from the office to obtain a controlled substance, hydrocodone, that resulted in 10 counts of obtaining by fraud a controlled substance. If you listen to the show, you know that it seems like every so often I'm commenting on some dental office manager or somebody that works for the dentist that's embezzling. This is, you know, it's obviously really irritating to me because, you know, dentistry is tough and it's hard to, with insurance companies wanting to pay less and costs going up, it's really hard to pay the bills as it is. And then when you have people stealing $50,000 to $100,000, that really makes it hard. They don't know where the money went, and it appears the pills were for her personal use. Bond was set at $25,000 cash, a surety on the embezzlement charge, and $10,000 for the controlled substance charge. And she's scheduled for arraignment this January 16th. Anyway, apparently, and I saw another stat that something like 30% of dentists don't know it, but they're being embezzled from. I'd like to think that's not me. I kind of watch the X's and O's and kind of watch over things, but boy, I don't know. You just don't know. So anyway, let me just say, if you work for a dental office out there, please don't do that. ask for a raise if you think you're not getting paid enough. But embezzling is just, I mean, this woman's going to prison, and look at all these charges against her. It's just not worth it. It really isn't. All right. Hey, I want to thank everybody for tuning in. You're listening to Dentally Speaking with Dr. Kvitko, and we're here every Sunday at 8. So please tune in next week. See you then.
Be sure and tune in next week for another exciting episode of Dentally Speaking with my dentist, Dr. Kvitko.
If you're interested in learning more about this and other dental health topics, go to dentallyspeaking.com to access full episodes of Dr. Kvitko's show.
If you would like to book Dr. Kvitko to speak at your next event, please call 614-262-9588. That's 614-262-9588. Or send an email to drkvitko@dentallyspeaking.com. That's drkvitko@dentallyspeaking.com.